Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What is Wally Phillips like at night?
What do I like at night, or what am I like
no,
at night?
What is he like at night? Is he the same man as he is during those very early morning dawning hours?
No, he's quiet. He's an escapist, I guess, who goes to hide and look at the stars and find some privacy, really, because I'm with people all day, and I like people very much, but there comes that choice time when you feel like there's nobody but you. There.
But here we are. You're doing a broadcast at night. Is this the first broadcast you've done at night since our last on-air conversation some 8 years ago?
I'm sure that's right.
Who really is Wally Phillips? I know you came out
I'm still
of,
working on that.
You came out of Cincinnati.
Right.
But I don't know where you came from before Cincinnati.
I was born in an area of Ohio that's supposed to be the most dialect-free part of America. That the people who lived in this area, you can't detect any accent of any kind. You can pick a New Englander, Southerner, Minnesotan, Californian, Texan, people at places like that. But I'm from a southeastern Ohio that's supposed to be totally dialect-free.
Centered around what town?
Portsmouth, Ohio.
Because, you know, I lived for 2 years in Columbus, and they all talk as if they come from Kentucky or Lower Tennessee.
Well, you're not supposed to be able to detect that or discern that from people in southeastern Ohio. I don't know if it comes out that way or not when I speak now.
Oh, well, you speak good general American, but one would assume that being a radio veteran, you learned how to do that in later life.
Well, I learned how to raise my voice now because the days of the deep-voiced announcers, that's all gone. I don't want them anymore. It used to be...
Did you go through voice changes as a radio man?
I don't know. I probably was enamored of it, the idea of being a sound, first of all, but I soon realized that people don't care about that. They like you for you, what you are, not what you sound like.
But what about radio? What about radio talk? Or
radio talk?
As it is often called, talk radio. You are, I'm not here to flatter you, but I think it's statistically demonstrated that you are the single most listened to radio personality in the country. That is in terms of the share of the metro audience to whom you broadcast, you get the largest share. It runs really to about one out of every four people listening to the radio during your hours is listening to you. And that's in any 15-minute period. And since people tune in and tune out as they're doing various things, probably one out of every two people in this broad area listens to some portion of your program when he or she has the radio on. So you've certainly got the credentials to evaluate talk radio. I wonder how much other talk radio you listen to, just to get a sense of what the boys and girls are doing.
I don't, Milt, really. When I'm away from my own desk, as I said before, I kind of want to calm down a bit, and I don't want that requirement to have to participate in either controversy or things that are so busy anymore. So I'll run to maybe some FMT music, frankly, something like that. But I think that people like talk radio when it belongs to not just a broadcaster, but to both sides. And I mean by that, talk radio, if you approach it with the foundation of us, instead of, all right, I'm going to impress you with what I know, and I'll give you a chance when it's time for you, and hello, you're on the air. And those are two mechanical things that I don't really like. I'd rather have talk radio be what it can be, and that is an exchange between people on a mutual, equal kind of level.
What's the secret of good talk radio?
I think respect. I think instead of utilizing those people waiting on 1, 2, 3, 4 lines as, hello, you're on the air, as a fodder for your own movement and ratings, if you treat that person with respect as though you were in his or her living room or car tearing apart the news of the day, it's an altogether different thing.
One thing I think I've learned, and it's the only thing I could ever convey about how to do a talk radio program, is listen. Listen to what's being said, whether by the guests in studio or by the guests on the telephone.
Yeah, true.
Walter Richard Aloysius Phillips, my guest. When did all of that become Wally?
As soon as I could get rid of it, really. I looked at my name when I was old enough to comprehend it. I thought, what is this? And then I learned my mother had that wonderful thought about names of her sons and daughters spelling words, W-R-A-P. And I thought, that's nice, Mom. I love you, but that's got to go.
You've been around long enough. You've done a lot of interesting things. You've got a lot of friends. You've observed a great deal. What have you learned about life? What have you learned about life?
Well, I'm not Plato, but I've learned that I know nothing. And I've learned that I can keep learning all of my life if I'm willing. And that's presently where I am, in the position of wanting to learn more every day until I check out. I think there's something to learn about people, about the world, my relationship with it, what it all means. I haven't even gotten close to anything like perfection there.
But give me some gleanings, some hypotheses or first generalizations that are beginning to form.
That I've learned?
Pass them on to me.
I've learned that whereas in my early years I could come to an exchange like ours or have a radio program or be in conversation and advance an idea, a theory, or what I deeply held on to and believed in and thought that was the answer, that I had exclusivity on the answer to life's problems. Now I realize I brought to that, as I bring to tonight, only my little bag of values hanging on my back that I've acquired, some through influence, some through suggestions, some through hand-me-downs of predecessors, and some through seeming excursions of mine into the world of acquisition of knowledge. But still in all, if I'm talking about abortion, if I'm talking about Dotson going back to jail, if I'm talking about salmonella, if I'm talking about prejudice, white, black, you name what I'm talking about, I don't bring any absoluteness to it. I don't bring any gospel. I don't bring any Bible. I bring just my world of my own, and I want to put that in perspective and say, that's one voice, but there are lots of others. So I think I'm proud of having learned that, that I don't have any truth. I've got an opinion and feelings, but I've got something to contribute, and it isn't final.
The truth is, it's only me, and I'm not entitled to tell other people what's true.
Correct. Right. I'm proud of me, but I have the same respect for you and her and somebody else who's waiting on that phone or lives next door, because my worth is comparable to theirs. My unfavorite phrase in the whole world, and you didn't ask, but I'll offer it anyway, is, there but for the grace of God go I.
Uh-huh. I was going to ask you something very similar.
Yeah.
What is your favorite... Who is your favorite author? And I don't mean just a famous author to be named. But
present company excluded?
You mean yourself?
No, you.
You haven't read any of my books.
Well, I don't stay up that late, you know. That's ponderous stuff. That takes a lot of candlelight.
No, I mean my technical tomes in social psychology.
Well, I have somebody explain a few of them to me, yes, I have. I like Sidney Harris. I like what he says. Yeah, I like what he perceives and what he writes about. I don't read fiction. I like history and biography and reference books.
What do you read in history, biography, and so on?
Well, you name it. I'll pick up any history book, biography. I want to know about Albert Einstein. I want to know about... I like humanitarians. I want to know about Schweitzer.
You got a favorite historical period that you've read in and kind of half-lived in, even though it was long ago?
When I was a kid, I was smitten with the U.S. and Wild West, of course. But no, I think I embrace the whole story now. I'm fascinated by time itself. As I mentioned in the book, the concept of the Earth being 4.5 billion years old is way beyond us. But I'm taken with that. And the fact that if you drove a car 55 miles an hour to the sun, it would take like 93 years. But if you went to the nearest star, it would take 32 million years.
Right.
Yeah, so I get out of the little confinement, I think, of this week, this year, and this decade into the whole story of me and all that's gone beyond.
I suppose the news has reached you by now. Has it reached me in a program we did on astrophysics just about a month ago, that this vast universe of ours, which is expanding and may expand forever or may collapse back on itself,
right,
filled with 100 billion galaxies, roughly, which on average have about 100 billion suns in each galaxy,
right,
that this vast universe, it is now conceived, is in all probability only one of an infinite number of universes.
Yeah, and that Big Bang theory is just one proposition, too, isn't it? One theory. There are others which said that the universe dies, then recreates itself.
Oh, the Big Bang allows for both.
Yeah.
That's a succession of Big Bangs.
But my point is, instead of being stuck with the U.S. Civil War or Charlemagne or anybody else, suddenly I lean towards that very idea of, wow, I like to think about this.
A lot of people want to talk with you. That is a matter of absolutely no surprise. And here is the first. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Milt and Wally.
Yes.
This is Gene and Felice calling.
Hi, Gene.
How are you?
How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I can tell, since the microphone is on the other side of the room, that you're in a much relaxed format, and you can talk about all of the things that are included in your book. And I remember... As a young fellow listening to you back in the late 50s, and now I am all of a sudden confronted with parenthood and a young
young married,
man, who is in the same shoes I was, perhaps back then. And I'm wondering, how does somebody with a hectic schedule like you have spend, you know, quality time with his kids?
You know what you do? You start out worrying about it. Say, I wish I had more time to give my daughter or my son. While I'm working, I'm giving my hours to make a future for her or him. But that's the same story. I think we're imbued with that whole idea of guilt. You're a sinner. You're wrong. And I don't like that. I think you're a good person, and you can't know everything. You give your best as long as you're loving. The kind of love that's the best kind, and you can practice this on your child, is the unqualified kind. You don't say to your daughter, I'll love you if you eat your Brussels sprouts, or I'll love you if you get an A on your report card. I'll love you, period.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some good advice that I can give them, the both of them, is to just keep the radio on WGN in the morning and have them just listen to you so that they can kind of get a perspective on life, which is different from what you brought up before about that the escaping to the world of the rock music and just letting it kind of turn them into vegetables, even though it's good and it has its place.
Well, the dad maybe is going to the football game to have that roar take him away from his responsibilities, too. So there's nothing wrong with the rock music. I was just saying that sometimes it can be soporific to the degree that it puts you to sleep, even though it's loud, because it removes all your reality from the world.
Uh-huh.
But everybody has a different release mechanism there, or need. However, back to L-O-V-E, that's the commodity that dads and moms can squeeze into their kids' hands without any strings attached.
Uh-huh.
It's love and love alone that made King Edward lose his throne is the opening.
Well, she had something to do with it too, didn't she?
Well, it's love.
Oh,
and
I
love
see.
Alone.
You mean, oh, love.
It's the opening line of a famous Calypso song, which then goes on to say that love is what makes the world go round.
Everybody's got his own struggle, though, wherever period he's coming from, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of sweat and struggle and sweetness in your bunch. But believe me, you'll do your best.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, Wally.
Good evening.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you ever regret allowing your vulnerability to be shown through the airwaves, your personal life?
No, I don't, not at all, because I know when I talk about my marriage, my divorce, my sadness, my joy, all the other things everybody experiences, I don't have any monopoly on that. There are thousands of people experiencing that, and I think they want to learn that somebody else goes through that same thing, too.
You make yourself very humanistic and very much in touch with everyone.
Well, that's what I was trying to say to Milt before. I'm just the same as everybody else, and that's not nobility, it says. It's just that I realize people have to struggle, because I've had to, and I think that when people hear that on the radio, they say, oh, I've been through that. I know where he's coming from.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Wally.
Oh, what's your name?
Pardon me?
What's your name?
Lori.
Lori, I'm glad to know, because you're not a number, you're a person. And I used to hear radio talk shows and they'd say, hello there, you're on the air. And I thought, that's so cold. You know, you're not number 18, your name is Lori. You have something to say, too. I'm glad to meet you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
What's the one event in your whole radio career at WGN that you will remember at the last flashing moment when everything else is sinking?
Well, I'm getting out of here in 60 seconds. I'm kidding. No, I don't know. It would take too long, Milt. It's been a wonderful experience meeting people. The people are a breath of fresh air every day. That's all I can say. I love what I do.